Image after imago. As a dyslexic person, I often turn to etymology to help me figure things out. Finding that words can be unravelled and their parts traced back through time has led to no end of joyful and creative misunderstandings and discoveries. Strange traces seem to appear between things as a word is picked apart. Proto-forms and senses are revealed under the layers, and in the shifting spellings and arrangements of letters, surprising connections are made. Unfortunately, this doesn't really help me in Scrabble. Finding an empty snail shell in the garden, I thought of the entomological etymologies of imago and image. Imago is a term that describes, of an insect, the stage at which it becomes sexually mature, a final form in the biological life cycle that leaves behind images of itself through trace, carapace, and cocoon. The imago stage is so called because it represents a kind of true image of the insect, the definitive version that casts off the mask of its previous representations. The fresh cicada, having emerged from its image, is considered an imago, the iconic version. But when is an insect really in imago, and for how long? Is imago a moment caught, passed by on the way to a different state? The moment imago begins for the snail is less clearly defined. There is no obvious eruption or shredding that occurs, rather a steady calcification of layers and gradual increase in size. Perhaps this is why the term is only applied to insects. Both image and imago can be traced from the Latin imitari, to copy or imitate, and further back to the Proto-Indo-European root word, aim. Perhaps imago is a symbolic form of the insect, the stage when it is most readily imagined and represented. How might images form after imago, in varying stages of hardening and softening, evidencing duration? What is the true image of the snail? If it is too difficult to ascertain the moment that when a snail is considered sexually mature, is the imago of the snail a classic picture of a fully grown adult snail? Is it a symbolic representation of a spiral shell, with its foot and antennae out, as in the portrait of the snail that hibernated in the British Museum for nearly 4 years? Or perhaps it's the snail's shell that sits mysteriously, whose occupation or vacancy is unsure. If the snail is the imago, the shell is perhaps an afterimage, an image after imago, trace evidence of the once living being that grew it. I think this interest in etymology has something to do with the idea of research, and how found images, citations, and other texts can become part of a project. In Snail Time, and across other collaborative exchanges with LucyMail since 2014, the presence of research within the installation has been a common thread. This is usually as a series of ephemera, pages or documents to be taken away or read within the installation. Sometimes, this research is a sound work or a projected image. Usually, it's compiled into a publication alongside other texts. I think we both feel that the way in which images and texts sit in relation to each other is important in our work, and that the goal is a kind of montage of meanings. Montage rather than collage, because a collage is a single image made up of other images, whereas a montage is a series of images that fold and unfold over duration, frames that flow meanings together. With each new secreted layer of shell, the snail builds up an archive of image traces. Do the lines between the segments represent a cut, as in film? If so, then it is a cutting together or a stitching. Montage, like archive and writing in general, promises a surplus value that there may be more and other meanings to what it says at the literal level. And what is the imago of an installation? Well, in its most basic life cycle, the installation is established, open to the public, and deinstalled. When opened, it reaches imago. Photographs are taken and uploaded to websites. People are invited for reviewing. The main images of the installation are made to represent the work in the future, But this fails to account for other stages, the research and planning that happens before access is given to a space, the initial realizations of difference between drawings and reality, the subtle and not so subtle material transformations that occur over its duration, the written responses made after the work is taken down. What traces those materials back to the installation after it disappears? How do they share a history as they are dispersed across archive boxes and in friends' houses and gardens? Between these stages are a series of faster life cycles that might contain their own imagos. The open and closed periods of the gallery or site, private viewings and public open hours, lunch breaks, back in five, the time it takes to turn the work on and off, troubleshooting, problems and mends, the change of light over the course of a day, and perhaps over several weeks passing between the seasons. Are these not all valid candidates for imago? Imago is the image, the perfect icon, and the aim of all mutations and transformations. For an installation, its documentation cements a point in time as the image, or images, puncturing other durations and experiences. Yet the documentation image is also an imitation of the installation, aim. The fictions of the camera remake the installation into an image. How then can an installation be more like the snail's shell, always image after imago? Can an installation cast off the mask of its previous representations? Collecting this research is often the first step towards our working together, something to share back and forth and then respond to. Images and texts operating as materials in the work. Through making, the research unravels, and connective tissues of meaning form across the project at hand. As the project continues, and in each iteration, research becomes a research as we go over similar ground and return to ideas. The word research, from the old French word rechercheur, can be split into two actions. The first is re, which itself has two senses. Re means back, to move backwards, or to return to a place, and also again, to repeat, to undo, turn over, renew. The origin of re is uncertain, but possibly comes from the Indo-European ret, to turn. The second action is searcher, to seek for, implying a forwards orientation and direction of looking. The word searcher can be traced further back to the Latin cercare, which means to go about, wander, traverse, and in turn from circus, see circle. Research as walking, circling back, looking forwards and backwards.